Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining us, and welcome. Tonight, we have a special guest, and let's get started. Sitting here, drinking beer, talking guys, dreaming, killing time, living life with some down-home friends. Thank you all for joining us once again. Along with me, my name is Richard, and my co-host, Caleb and Jeff, and special guest tonight, Zach R. Welcome, Zach.
Hello. Well, glad to be here.
You want to tell us about yourself?
Yeah, glad to be here. So I'm different Zach than last week, Zach R. Zach B was last week, but I am Richard's son. Just super happy to be here. So I'm 28. I have two young boys. I work for Bear Paint Company. I'm a territory sales rep for Bear, so I'm work inside of different Home Depots every day. So I didn't think I'd be doing something like this right now, because I thought I would always be in golf. I used to work in golf, but you know, life took me on a different path, and here I am. But you know what, I wouldn't trade it for anything. So really avid golfer, huge Avalanche fan.
Go Avs.
Yeah. Go Avs. Big win last night. Big win, man. So trade deadline day was today, so it was tough for me to try to stay off my phone following all of the crazy trades going on in the NHL.
Oh, they were going off, man.
It was insane. I mean, it's super exciting, so I'm really excited for where the Avs are going. But, that's not why we're here. We're not here to talk sports. We're here to talk about the good Lord. So
yeah. Mm-hmm. Thanks for having us, or thanks for being here.
You're welcome.
He has no choice. He's got to have us.
You have the choice. Thanks for being here, Zach. We really appreciate it. And the subject tonight that we're going to talk about is tithing and Old Testament. Do Old Testament laws apply to in today's world? Right, that's a very interesting question. And but we'll get into tithing. And I think Caleb, our question guy, has a lot of questions about that.
I'm here. Yeah, a lot of questions. Mostly because I don't know a lot, so I'm here with the questions. I think the first thing, you know, as you think about tithing, Zach, and it's T-I-T-H-I-N-G, tithing, not tiding, but tithing. What is tithing from your perspective, and where do you feel like it originates in the Bible?
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, tithing from the Bible originates Old Testament. I don't know the exact verse. I'm sure I have it pulled up, but I have like multiple different notes pulled up, so I don't want to get it wrong. But originates in the Old Testament, where you know basically they were giving 10% of their first everything, right? Whether it was their money or their crop or whatever it was, even sometimes their firstborn children or boys, as a sacrifice to God. To show love and respect and all those different things. But, you know, I think that obviously that's what tithing was when it first came around. I think tithing nowadays, at least in my mind, has a little bit of it's some of the same, but it's very, very different at the same time as well. yeah, I mean, it's a pretty, at least in my opinion, it's a pretty hotly contested topic as far as, you know, what, like the info behind it and, you know, should you do it? Are you required to do it? We're going to talk about all those things.
Yeah, but, definitely.
You know, yeah, it's, yeah.
So, yeah, I think you referenced this, but I think, you know, I was doing a lot of research myself, and I think the first mention is actually in Genesis chapter 14, 18 through 20. And Abraham, to your point, gave a tenth of his spoils to Melchizedek.
Go ahead.
Melchizedek.
How do you say that?
And then it says that it was later formalized in Mosaic law, and it's mentioned, again, to your point, in Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy.
Right.
So, yeah, definitely some history there. Mm-hmm. I think, I guess that kind of leads to the next question, and this can be open to Zach and the group, but talk about this requirement. Is it a requirement? I guess, is tithing a requirement? Is it more of a principle than a command, or what do we think about the subject of tithing?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I think it depends on your perspective, right? As far as, you know, so one of the ones that I pulled up here is Matthew 23, where Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees and teachers of the law, and he goes through the seven woes. I'll read it here in just a sec. Let me just make sure I'm in the right spot here. Oh, here it is. Okay, yeah. So Matthew 23:23 says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former." "You blind guides, you strain out a gnat but swallow a camel." And I know, I think most of us have watched the Chosen here too. That like that scene in the Chosen is super powerful, I think, because in the show they depict it. Obviously, there's a bunch of Pharisees standing on the steps above him, while Jesus is standing down on the ground with the rest of the common people. And I think that's just they show it in a very cinematic way, and it's very powerful to show like they're almost standing above the people as like saying we're better than you. And whether they think that or not, it's just all cinema, right? But when you look at that passage, to me, that's showing or saying that, you know, they're being so methodical and precise with what they're doing, but they're missing the point of it all in saying that, you know, well, yes, you do tithe, and that is in the Old Testament what was commanded of you before, but are you really caring about what you're doing, I think is kind of what it's saying there, right? Like, do you actually care, or are you just doing it because that's what's required of you? And I think that is where we can kind of get into that bigger topic of, you know, in today's world, right? Do we tithe, you know, your 10% of, is it, are you giving actual 10% of your income to your church because you want to, or because you feel like you're required to, because that's what your church tells you to do, right? Do you look at tithing as something other than money? Is it your time? Is it the goods that you've bought and used and now you don't need it anymore, so you can give it on to somebody else that can utilize it, right? I think there's a lot of different ways to encapsulate it, but I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I guess I would say that on a very base level that it is required of us to give.
Right.
It is required of us. And the hard part that I have is, if it is required of us to give, and not only give, but give with a cheerful heart, and, you know, it's you have to sacrifice. Well, my flesh does not like that. I don't like to sacrifice. However, I can totally see God's heart on it. And when I can see that, it makes it not difficult at all. Mm-hmm. But there are times when I may be a little tired, a little hungry, or a little human, whatever that it looks like, and all of a sudden that I can get into the same old of, yeah, just write the check. This is what I got to do, you know?
Right.
And I hate doing that, and I know God hates that I have that mindset. But in the end, even after you give it, you're like, that wasn't right. Mm-hmm. I'm okay. You know, I'm happy I'm able to give that, you know, and I don't know. I'm more on the, I'd rather give it and then work through it with him later.
Sure.
You know, but yeah. I think you could bring up a good point of like time and volunteering and all that. And I guess the most important thing that God wants is he wants his church to be strong, to take care of people and to outreach and let them know that God does love you. And he's there for you. And there is a group of people or a church or anything that is, we're here to take care of you. And that's why there needs to be food in the storehouse. There needs to be money to take care of people. And that's really what you are doing, is you are giving blindly towards the advancement of God, which is giving in faith. You're saying, I don't know what you're going to do with this. And your will, not my will.
Sure. Yeah. No, those are good points. I mean, I think, excuse me, you know, along with that too, I mean, it's, you know, and just to be clear on something, I'm not saying that I'm against tithing. I, we're having an open conversation about, you know, what it all means and everything. Because I have struggled with this idea in the past, but, you know, I really want to try to understand, like, and I think sometimes, you know, you hear some churches maybe they say that they don't preach prosperity gospel, but then it sometimes feels like that. And you're like, mm-hmm. So what are you really asking for here? You know what I mean? And I think you brought up a good point of, you know, like we should be giving out of the goodness of our heart because, you know, that's what we should be doing, right? But when we look at the requirement idea of tithing, right? I mean, because it is an Old Testament law, right? So some of the other Old Testament laws, I mean, we don't sacrifice animals anymore, right? As modern day Christians.
Right.
So like, and I'm not saying we shouldn't tithe. I'm just saying like, where do we draw the line? Like, where's the, you know what I mean? Like we do this, but we don't do that. Like what's,
I guess I would say any Old Testament law. I look at what Jesus said about the law is basically a mirror held up to you to see how dirty you are.
Sure.
And how far you've fallen short.
How far you've fallen, like, down the rabbit hole.
Every paycheck I've given 10% of, nope, not even close. Like if you had a spreadsheet, and I'm sure God could tell me my lifetime total of what I and how far short I've come. And that's why, you know, like in salvation, in anything, like I don't want a fair deal because I'm gonna come way short of that.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And, you know, I may be the only one at the table, but, you know.
No, and I feel the same way, right? Like it's, everybody's in a different situation, whether they can do 1% or 10% or even more than that, you know. I think that if you are giving, like you guys mentioned, out of the goodness of your heart, whatever percentage that is, whether that's in it's probably money, right, that we're talking about modern day times.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, hey, I can give 5%. However, the other 5%, I think I'm going to go volunteer, right? Go work at a soup kitchen or whatever the case is, right? And I don't know if that's something that, you know, maybe people don't think that way. Maybe they do. It's hard to, because, you know, back in the Old Testament, they were giving, you know, their livestock. Right. And like you said, Zach, they're, you know, it's their kids, right? Stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And their wheat or barley or whatever. And it's, I don't know, it's something that is, I want to say, when you tithe, right, when you give whatever amount that looks like, do you ever notice that it comes back to you? I have. Mm-hmm. Well, I definitely have, right? So the church I was at, it was just on a regular automatic, you know, whatever deduction, and it's like, you know, it's out of sight, out of mind. It's mm-hmm. it's not even, right, I don't even see it. It's not me like, oh my goodness, I gotta go give my 10%, right? It's just automatically gets taken out, and I don't worry about it. However, when I look at that, it's like it's like, oh, you know, I feel like I'm giving and I'm getting back, you know, a whole bunch, right? Whether that's money or, you know, in my faith or, you know, friendships, whatever that looks like, it's going to come back to you, right? So, and that's important because we have to be able to have our eyes open to that, you know, not look at, oh, I'm giving X amount of money to the church and, you know, have that the thought of, why am I doing this? I'm not seeing anything back. It is actually coming back. You just have to be open to seeing what is coming back to you when you're tithing. So
yeah,
I guess the question I have for you guys, I'm thinking about whose money, whose talent, whose all these things that we're talking about, whose is it?
Yeah, well, that's a great question, because I think you just read my mind, because I was thinking about this same topic of, like, you know, everything in our kingdom is like God entrusted us, but it's his, right? We're living in his kingdom, but it's ultimately not ours. Possession wise, we don't own it, right?
Yeah.
We're curators of it, right? We're taking care of it for him. And so that brings up another idea, right? Where what was on my mind was, you know, well, what if somebody is in a financial hardship, right? Or, like, you know, they maybe didn't make the greatest decisions with their money, and now they're paying the price for that, literally, right? You know, well, isn't it also fair to say that even though you're not tithing 10% to the church, you know, every what a paycheck or however you do it, right? Isn't it also fair to say, like, I'm not going to give that money because I'm focusing on the kingdom that was entrusted to me that's right in front of me versus the kingdom that's on the outside? Can I see what I'm saying there? Like, you know, if somebody's in a hard way, right, and they've had a change in their heart and they want to be able to take care of the things that they're paying the price for what they did before, right? Isn't that also fair to say that you're tithing in your own kingdom to take care of what you need to take care of in the present and now right in front of you?
Yeah, I think it's a good question. I think it's a great question. I think this is where I would maybe say that we need to pray for wisdom and what the right way to handle that is, right?
Absolutely.
I think that if we are taking control of a situation and not tithing and not, you know, our heart isn't right and we're not, you know, giving back or being good stewards and of what God's given us, I think it's the wrong answer no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
I also think it's the wrong answer if you're giving 15% or 20% for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
Right. So I think one of the things that we talk about a lot is, you know, we've been given a lot. I think this is a heart thing and not necessarily a financial thing. And, you know, you referenced a lot of examples in the Old Testament where, in New Testament, where Pharisees were giving for the wrong reasons. And it wasn't the amount, it was the why, right?
Yep.
So I think it's a great question because we obviously want, as men, to take care of our house. We want to do what's responsible. And there's a difficult balance of trusting in God's plan and trusting in God's provision and doing that. And I think that it only lies in prayer and wisdom from above.
Well said.
Yeah. So I want to read something here. This summary of Old Testament and tithing. In the Old Testament, Abraham and Jacob tithed to God. The Israelites were required to tithe to the Levites, the temple, feasts, and the poor. Tithes were given to authority figures to determine how God wanted the money to be used. And then in the New Testament, 3 points here. In the New Testament, Christians were encouraged to give from the heart rather than being required to tithe. Jesus taught his followers to care more about love, justice, and fairness. And Christians now give offerings to support. God's work. So, and it's very different from Old Testament to New Testament, right? It's more, New Testament's more about love, and Old Testament's more about, you know, giving
absolute laws kind of thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
And that's Old Testament. If you haven't read Old Testament, you got to read it. There's a lot of books in the Old Testament,
mm-hmm.
And the study I'm doing right now in Revelation, we reference a lot of Old Testament stuff. But anyways, it's really good, and it's for me, Old Testament is dark. So those are the three things that I pulled up and I wanted to read, right? Because in the now, right, New Testament, I think New Testament is really in the now. Jesus, the second point I made for New Testament, Jesus taught his followers to care more about love, justice, and fairness, which when you look out in the world today, you don't see a lot of that, right? And I think we do our best to do our part to you know, spread that, spread God's words, his love, right, and the justice and the fairness part of it too. Sometimes it's very challenging. But, you know, take a step back and look at, you know, am I being fair to someone? Are they being served justice, right? Am I showing love is the thing. And we have our, you know, we have our issues. You know, we all have our issues with anger and patience and arrogance and whatever else that men have. But, you know, I think as you get wiser and older and get closer to God, I think that really impacts you when it comes to generally being nice to people and showing love to people, right? So, well, anyways, so Old Testament, New Testament is about tithing. I wanted to share that with y'all.
That's a great point. I think one of the questions I would have for these guys, you know, you all have been as part of churches and ministry. what things have you seen done because of people's tithing, right? Because I think, you know, a lot of people think, hey, these churches just run and they're asking us for money, but money comes from, you know, gifts of the church. So what types of ministries and things that have you seen be possible because people have made those, I guess, investments in the church or kind of listened to the call to tithe?
I honestly love hearing missionary stories. I've never been called to missionary. I don't think there's a calling on my life to missionary, but I'll definitely support them. And I love, like, almost all of them. You know, I've been in several different churches over the years, and they all say the same thing. Like, I just want you to, give so I can go back into the field, right?
Sure, yeah.
And I just want you, like, I don't need everybody to go into the field, but if I can go back in the field because I feel like I'm called, you know, that's kind of what I, we had a nice missionary come to our group like a year ago, 2 years ago. Yeah, yeah, it was nice to support him.
Yeah, so that at least
for a little bit.
He's
in Mexico.
In Mexico, and then there's a gentleman who used to come to our group, Jim. He's now in India.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, and he's helping people out there in India, and then also I think, what was his name, Brandon? I think it was in Mexico, is doing great stuff there. Right. It's,
Dustin.
Dustin. Yeah, that's
Dustin
it.
Reed.
Where did I get Brandon from?
I got Dustin from my email. That's the only reason. Shout out to Dustin in case you're listening. We're giving a shout out to your ministry.
Yes,
keep doing great work.
Definitely. So
yeah, I mean, that's I go to Flatirons, and you know, they pride themselves a lot on you know, sharing what the tithing to the church what comes of it, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and they do, you know, several, their primary focus as of late has been working to rescue women and children from sex trafficking, right? Which is like the evil of evil in my mind. Like, it's just, it's the worst. Yeah, it's just awful. But, you know, to be able to like hear that, you know, like, I mean, yeah, like those, if there's somebody that needs to be saved, it is definitely those women and children, right? Amongst several other hundreds or thousands of different groups of people that need saving. But, you know, like to hear that, you know, a church is not only taking the idea of doing that, but actually fulfilling it and going into, you know, thousands of miles away across the globe to be able to rescue, you know, those people is insane to me, and it's amazing, right? So like, you hear that makes me want to give even more, because I fully support that. Yeah. 100%. Like, nobody should ever have to go through that ever.
That's one of those, like, I did not think that that line was being crossed, but that line's being crossed, and everybody gets the same disgusting look on their face when just the topic gets mentioned. I watched the three of us, like, just when you mentioned it, and you're just like,
yeah,
the pit in your stomach comes up.
It's terrible.
Immediately.
Yeah, I think I remember, you know, when we talk about this, what supports can be provided by tithing. I mean, sometimes we forget, and I'm a ministry kid, so I guess it's at top of mind. But, you know, the people that are serving in churches and pastors and staff, you know, the folks that are taking care of our kids, right? Those who are paid, right, are, it's a result of people tithing and giving. And I think, as we think about the impact that it has on all of our families, you know, I know that when our family decides to give, we remember those people. It's not always easy for them. They're usually trying to be paycheck to paycheck. And, you know, I think that's another way that we can provide, you know, people in the ministry a little bit of support as they do truly God's work. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just important, you know, to remember the examples of what the tithing actually does to further Christ's mission, right?
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you when it comes to the support group. You know, and the folks who work at churches, right, to be able to help them. So one of the things that I think that, you know, as far as churches and money they receive, the tithing that they receive, you know, my daughter went to Africa through the church, 2020, I think it was like 5 years ago.
Before COVID.
Yeah, right before COVID started.
She was out there when COVID happened.
Yeah, and they had to cut their trip short because they were shutting down the world, right, at the time. So, but, you know, when she was out there, she sent me pictures and video, and, you know, the church sent a group of women out there to help, right? And it was... The videos and the pictures that she sent me were amazing, right? They're just doing good work out there, spreading just love, right? Spreading love of God, being out there helping, right? And, you know, the stories that she came back with were she had the greatest time, right? Mm-hmm. Just being out there. You know, Zach, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
your
sister, right, went out there. And
I mean, I remember having several phone calls with her when that happened because I was in Florida at the time doing my PGA stuff.
Yeah.
And I remember all of that happening, and like she called me and she was freaking out because like she didn't know if she was going to be able to come back to the U.S. from Africa. It was crazy. So. Yeah, so, but yeah, she had a fantastic, it was amazing. She had a fantastic time out there. I mean, I think she would go back a time and time again if, you know, if her situation was a little different, but you know,
she loved it. And that's part of what the church does. You have all these different churches, right? Getting mission trips out to different countries or to help, right? Whatever that looks like. And I think that's absolutely a great thing, right? Even locally, you have churches doing stuff locally for local schools, you know, impoverished neighborhoods, you know, helping out, you know, I did this barbecue event, I think it was a couple of years ago, with a church that, you know, it was a home for single moms, right? And it was great just to help out, right? And there was a lot of us helping out. Caleb was there, right? So it feels good, right? And that's part of your time, right? Not just money, it's also time. You're volunteering, the tithing part of it, right? You're showing love, right? Yeah, money's is great. It helps, you know, keep the lights on. However, the time I think is extremely important because that's where a lot of things happen when it comes to the church is the volunteers, right?
Shout out to Hope House in Arvada, Colorado, which is what you're talking about. So if you, if you have a dollar or million, feel free to send it their way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to share this too real quick. Cause I just, as we were talking about this, it brought up, there's a song that I have on my worship playlist. I'll tell you who it's by and what the name of it is, but I won't say any lyrics because I don't want there to be any issues. But it's by Casting Crowns, and it's called Start Right Here. Go listen to it. It's a fantastic song. I think the message in that song is fantastic because to summarize it, it's basically saying, you know, we talk about all of these issues, you know, all around the world, but we're not focusing on the issues right in front of us. Right. You know, by the end of the song, it kind of summarizes it, but it, again, fantastic song, go listen to it. It's a great, it matches the theme of our conversation really well here. So, and it, just listen to it once, get the feel for it, and then listen to it again and really take note of what the lyrics are saying. So I think it, you know, while doing all of the missionary things all across the globe, right? It's what's needed, right? But if we're not taking care of what's right in front of us, I think that whole idea comes from where our heart is, right? That's kind of been the theme of what we've been talking about tonight is where is your heart in the right place, right? Yeah. Are you doing it for the right reasons? It's just...
Zach, give me that song again.
It's called Start Right Here. By Casting Crowns.
Got it. Yeah.
Okay. I just added it to my Spotify.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. It's in my queue right after Huey Lewis.
All right.
We want our coffee in the lobby. Yeah. We want our rock star on the stage. Yeah. We want a rock star preacher, right?
that's
just from memory.
Yeah.
But no, it's a great song. It's a great song. Thank you for that.
Which, if you have not built a worship playlist on your whatever music device you listen to, please do, because it's just... It's fantastic. And if you need one, hey, I got a pretty good one on my Spotify, so just search me and listen to mine.
You got to share that. I will.
Sure,
I can.
Sure.
Absolutely. Send it to me.
I will. Yeah. I'll send it to you.
I'll send you mine.
All right. Let's do it.
What's the, if you're willing to share that, your Spotify list, Spotify name, I guess.
Can you put that on our website?
His playlist?
Playlist?
Yeah.
You could just link it
I could put it out there.
Put it out there.
I'll find it, Zach, and I'll put it out there.
So, I'm always adding new music to it. I mean, that's what I love. I love music. I mean, my job, I travel a lot. I'm in my car a lot. So, you know, I listen to all kinds of music all the time. So that's a passion of mine, is just, you know, being able to find new music and add to it. And if somebody can enjoy it other than me, outstanding. I love it.
Changes your mood.
Absolutely.
It does.
Totally different.
For sure.
For our listeners out there, go to our website, BibleBrothersAndBeer.com, and go to the podcast link. And what I'm going to start doing is, we talk a lot about, just a little side conversation here, a side thing, is we as our guests come on, they talk a lot about different things, like Zach with his Spotify playlist. And, you know, Caleb and Jeff, they talk about, oh, I'm reading this book. And one of the suggestions that was made to me is, hey, why don't you, on that podcast link, put those out there, right? Mm-hmm. So that we can look.
Episode say, links.
Yeah, exactly. Episode two, we talked about, you know, don't give the enemy seat at your table, right? That book. Which I'm listening to right now, by the way. Anyways, for our listeners, go out to our website, go to the podcast link. And what I'll do is I'll put those links out there so when we talk about this, you can go out there and explore it for yourself. So thanks.
We link to the beers too.
I can link the beers.
Maybe. Must be 21 or older. Must
be 21. I think you have to be 21 over if you want to. No, I don't know.
You want to listen to our podcast?
No.
We're an all ages podcast.
We are, actually. We are an all ages podcast. Anyways.
And all genders, too, by the way, which I told my wife. She asked. Yeah, so Allie was asking me, my wife was asking me what we were going to be talking about tonight. And I told her, I said, I'm not going to tell you. You got to listen to the episode. And she gave me and I'm like, I'm sorry, that's what you got to do. Like, you got to, and it's going to be beneficial for her too to listen to all of it, because she just started her own women's group with my sister Madeline. They had their first meeting on Wednesday, 2 days ago.
Yeah.
And they had, I think, 9 or 10 women show up.
That's great for a first night.
Fantastic. Yeah. So it was more of just an icebreaker night, you know, kind of get to know people. I think their group, like, compared to ours, it's going to be a little bit more of like a Bible study focus.
Sure.
You know, they're going to do check-ins, I think, similar to the way we do it. But, I'm super, super excited about that. But to my point, it's for everybody, not just the guys in our group or guys that are, it's for women too, you know, because
you need a group.
You do.
It's important.
Yeah, you do. You got to have that community around you that is all chasing Jesus. If, you know, I think that's, I just, you know, I'm getting off the rails, but it's just something that I think she was looking for a while. And I'm so proud that she was able to start this and really take it on as her own. Mm-hmm. And Madeline too, right? My sister, because I mean, I'm so excited to see where this goes. Yeah. I'm so excited for them to see where it goes. So, but just real quick, any ladies that are listening, they just started this women's group, Wednesday nights. Same place, Satire Brewing Company, from 6 to 8 p.m., Thornton, Colorado, if you're interested. They don't have a website, unfortunately. But
I got a name for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sisters, Scripture, and Spritza.
You know what? Hey, you're really close to their actual name, though. Their official name that they came up with was Sisters in Scripture. So that was pretty good.
You got to add the Spritza.
Spritza. You got to say it with a Boston accent?
Rosé. Rosé all day.
Spritza.
Rosé all day.
So what we'll do is, and I'm willing to do this, is just to put a little blurb out there on our website. You know,
please.
Like Zach said, any women out there who are looking for a women's group, because listen, I truly believe that women need group too. They need women. Men need men. Women need women to have that support group, right? And it's sorely needed, right? Because there's some women out there who have little or no friends that And when they do, if they do have friends, they can't really talk to them about certain things.
Right? Everybody, so. You can't do this alone. Like Jesus, when he would disappear for a while, mm-hmm. it was to recharge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're not meant to live there.
Yep.
Like you're supposed to go recharge, pray.
Yeah.
You know, and just get by yourself alone for a little bit, but you are not supposed to live alone.
Yeah.
You can't do life by yourself.
Yeah, I agree with that. So any women listening, if you know someone, even men, if you know a woman who needs a group and they live in the North Denver area, you know, come check out Sisters in Scripture.
Sisters in Scripture, Satire Brewing Company, Wednesday night.
Or the South Denver area.
From 6 to 8
Make a little road trip.
Yeah,
front range.
That feels like a great segue to our next conversation here.
Does.
Yeah, so let's go into our fellowship portion of the podcast, right? So, and Caleb, you always have all the questions, man. I love it.
I do.
You have great questions, by the way. I like the way you mind things.
I like a good question asker.
Yeah,
thank you.
By the way,
again,
I got a story about our friend Caleb here.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
We're both in the gym last Saturday.
Getting swole.
And he comes over to me and he says, "Hey, man, have you lost weight?" Which is awesome. And he, like, seriously, we had like a five minute conversation about it. But yeah. I just want to thank you for, you know, the encouraging question and just the, "Hey, man, just checking up on you," and all that. It felt good.
I felt good. I got one for you here. That happened probably about 40 minutes ago. This guy walks in and he just come from the gym and I grabbed his arm and it's like a rock, dude.
Yeah.
This guy.
Hey.
He's like swole. Look at him.
Dude, Caleb's the
freaking
best.
Swole.
Caleb's best.
I'm gluten free.
You're gluten-free.
GF, baby.
Yeah. You know how you know people are gluten-free?
How's that?
Because they always talk about it. Yeah.
It's like CrossFit.
That's right. Exactly. Oh, you do CrossFit?
Yeah.
Because you talk about it 50% of the time?
Exactly, right.
All right. So, yes, Jeff is filling out that Colorado Rockies shirt better than he ever has. So,
Swole.
We just hope a little bit.
Which is not true.
A little bit.
I filled it out better in college.
We just hope that the Rockies do a little bit better this year.
Oh, my. Let's not talk about the Rockies. Yeah.
We can cut that section out.
We could talk about the Angels, though.
Yeah. All right.
Any baseball, I'm out. I can't have my public opinions of baseball out there.
Very powerful.
I will say this, just for you boys here. I realized this week, baseball is not a passion of mine. It's my drug.
Mm. That's your drug. Oh my
and
gosh.
I kind of want off of it.
Yes. So
I really want off.
Well, but it's fun, though. Like, I love baseball.
Oh, yeah. That sounds like a
sounds
drug.
Like a drug to me.
It sounds like a drug.
I love baseball.
Reel it in. All
right. So we'll jump into the questions around the fellowship section. So, Zach, you're very well aware that we talk a lot about fellowship and relationships. And so, would love your perspective on, you know, what does the Bible say about fellowship and the importance of relationship? We talked a lot about it for males, females, all of us. But what's your perspective?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think you look at, you know, I always reference The Chosen a lot. I think about that a lot because I think it gives me a little bit of an easier way to understand the stories of the Bible and what happened, right? I mean, mm-hmm. I know it's a TV show. They take certain liberties. I get it, right? So it's maybe not 100% accurate. I understand that. But at the same time, you know, I think of one of the things I think about, at least the way that they depict it in the show, right, is with Simon Peter and with Matthew, the tax collector, right? And at first, Simon despises Matthew because he's a tax collector, right? Like, why am I supposed to hang out with somebody like this when he's the one that ruined my life kind of idea, right? And then the show depicts their relationship evolve. And, you know, obviously Jesus has the conversation with Simon Peter about forgiveness and everything, right? And, you know, I look at it as an overarching idea of, like, this whole thing doesn't work unless we get along and we're in this together, right? Mm-hmm. And so when I think about the idea of having relationships and, you know, just having men around you or women or just a community around you, is super important because, like you said earlier, I mean, you can't go it alone. You just can't. You have to have a community around you. And whether that community, your community should be, the bulk of your community should be Jesus focused. Like, one of my best friends, you know, I is not a very religious person, but that to me doesn't matter because, like, it, our brothership, our friendship is so, so close and tight that, like, it doesn't matter. Like, I don't know how to articulate it the best way, but I think the point I'm trying to make is that whether your friendships or your brothership, whatever it is around you, community, right? It's important to have that no matter what it is. Mm-hmm. As long as those people are good in their heart and have the best intentions for you and in your life and vice versa for myself or yourself in their life, right? Yeah. That, I think, is what really matters, I think, is what I was trying to say.
Yeah. So. And I guess, like, I look at it like this. Like, Zach, you and I, we're going to hope for the best for each other, for our families.
Right.
We're going to help each other get there. You fall down, I'll pick you up.
Right.
I fall down, please pick me up. Mm. You know? But the goal of it is that 1,000 years from now, we're sitting around in eternity with Jesus.
Absolutely.
We're sitting there in the presence of God the Father. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what it's all about. Like, this is not a relationship for the next 45, so 30 years, you know?
It's for,
I mean, like,
it's for eternity.
Yeah, it's not just like, I pass away, you know, like you go to my funeral and all that, and then it's like, oh, that's the end of him or whatever. Mm-hmm. No. Jesus is going to save us and take us home. This goes on forever, you know? Yeah.
So allow me to be a little provocative here.
Sure.
I guess what you just explained is kind of the ideal state of relationships and fellowship. What happens and how do we recognize when God is bringing someone into our lives or when he's leading someone out? And I think the second part of that question is really about sometimes when we get into relationships with other people, they may be toxic. They may not actually be beneficial, right? Even though they may have the intent of being that. So how do we recognize when God's bringing someone into our lives? And how do we recognize when someone may be leading, when God may be leading someone out?
I hate that second part.
That's a challenge. I wish I could say it doesn't happen.
No, you're very sober in how you address that, but I hate that second part. I do not want to take anybody out of my life. You know, I don't want to say goodbye. Mm-hmm. I don't want to, but I understand for the temporary, when there is a clock on things, mm-hmm. for the safety of everybody, it is necessary.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just hate that second part.
Yeah. I mean, I think, like, as far as, like, I feel like you could look at that, at least the second part of that question in a couple of different ways, whether they leave physically, they die, right? That's one part of it. But the other part of it is somebody comes into your life, but then, you know, like, maybe you built a friendship or whatever it was, you know, and then just as fast that friendship maybe fades away for whatever reason it is. Mm-hmm. I don't know, right? Could be anything. Make up your own story or relate it to something that's happened in your life, right? But it's, at least the way that I look at it is, you know, when I think God brings people, specific people into your life at specific points for specific reasons, right? And whether they're there to stay for the long haul or it's a very short-term thing, because that's what God recognized you needed in that moment, in that very specific amount of time, right? I don't know if there really is a way to determine it, right? I mean, you kind of just have to maybe try to zoom out and look at it from a big picture perspective of, okay, what is really going on in my life right now, in my kingdom? And I guess try to figure out what is God trying to point me towards. And are the people around me going to help me or hurt me in that mission, right? I think is the biggest thing when you look at it from that perspective of, yeah, are you in my life to help me follow Jesus and become better in my faith? And we can build a stronger community together, or are you going to hinder that? And if so, well, see ya. It sounds blunt, but you know, I mean, and it may not be our choice, right? Like I said, it sometimes it is. If you recognize it, it is your choice. Other times you try and try and try, and ultimately maybe it's God sending a message to you through the other person that, hey, that relationship was never meant to be, like, mm-hmm. it's time to move on kind
yeah.
of thing.
Yeah, that's interesting. Those questions are great questions, by the way. And they're very, I think they can be challenging to answer. However, I'm going to look at it at a different perspective of, you know, you've come into my life, or I've come into your life. Am I there to help you for that 10 seconds, that 10 minutes, that 10 years, mm-hmm. right? With whatever you're going through, right? I think it's a different way to look at things because, you know, maybe God's putting me into your guys' lives. Well, Zach, I mean, I'm in your life forever, so mm-hmm.
deal with it. He was there at the beginning.
Yeah.
He was.
So am I in Jeff and Caleb's life for a moment in time, right?
I hope not.
Well, no, I'm just saying, right? That's the type of perspective you have to look at. You know, this a quick story is, I was walking out of the gym. Because
he works out.
On occasion. I think like once a month I go to the gym. So I was leaving the gym. This delivery guy pulled up, right? It was like 6:30 in the morning. You know, I don't know what he's delivering, but and he gets out. And I said, hey, how you doing? He's like, I'm okay. I'm broken. I was like, aren't we all? And I said, I hope you have a great day. He's like, thank you. And I walked away from that, just that quick exchange. Like, and he made me think about like, wow, we really are broken. When we take a look at our lives, there's a lot of broken pieces to it. And it's like, how can I fix what's broken in me? And then I stopped and got in my car, started up my car, sat there for a couple minutes. And I'm like, how can I pray for him? Right. You know, and maybe that little prayer is going to help him. I hope it does. Right. And it's in these people that come into our lives, or we come into to their lives. Right. I think it's a blessing, absolute blessing, where, you know, maybe they just need some type of prayer to pray for them. And then, you know, after that, you don't hear from them again, or they move out of state, or whatever happens, you know, you have to look at that as a blessing. How did they came into my life. We had a great time. We prayed, we, you know, hung out, we, you know, did whatever. And I look back at that. We don't talk anymore. However, we had great times. It was a blessing. Yeah, there's probably challenging times too, but did you learn from that? Did you learn from the challenging times that you were together with this person? Mm-hmm. And, you know, for me, I try to look at the good in everything. It's very challenging sometimes, though, but there's good in everything, I think. So, I don't know. It's just a different way to look at it as far as people coming into your lives, or is it me going into your lives to help you out, right? Because, you know, we all need that. So,
yeah, I mean, I love that thought. I love what you just said about kind of focusing on being in the moment, and being in the moment to the sense of you could be the only person that gives that person encouragement today, even though you don't know them, right? So I think those are more of the quick transactions that we might have in the grocery store, or, you know, wherever we may be. I take my work very seriously. I work with people, and it's very difficult at times to treat every person in a way that kind of centers their situation as important when you're meeting with a lot of people every day, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's something that I've kind of prayed for and kind of internalized. I think what Zach said about, you know, when we make choices to have people in our lives, we need to make sure that they're pointing us in the right direction, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and I'll use the example of, you know, in the past, you know, I think I've had people in my life that when you're complaining about your situation at home or you're complaining about work or whatever it is, it's a key indicator of what they tell you to do, right? And I think that I've had people in my life say, you know what, you need to go somewhere else. You need to maybe, you know, change your relationship status, or you need to, you know, you're right. You know, this other person's wrong, blah, 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 blah. And I think what I've found in this group and with other relationships outside of this group is that sometimes when I bring my frustrations, they're asking me to self-reflect and say, what control do you have in this situation? And what can you do to make it better? And I think ultimately pointing people back to their marriages, pointing people back to their kids, pointing people back to relationships that we have commitments to, is a healthy way of doing it. And I think that, you know, if people are not doing that and kind of solidifying some of your unhealthy thoughts, then you might want to think about whether they should be in your life or not. Mm-hmm. Right.
I was going to say, and I think that was really good, Caleb. As far as like, if I have to say goodbye to somebody, usually, and I, like I said before, I have a hard time cutting somebody out. But I will be more authentic and more truthful and more authentic. And usually they leave, from what I've found, especially when you start to speak the truth of like, listen, I'm trying to follow Jesus. I'm not doing that. Whatever you're down with here, I'm not about. And they have a way of never wanting to talk to you again, you know, which is sad. But at that point, all you're left to do is I can pray for you and all that. But mm-hmm. I guess you've made the choice.
Yeah, that's all you can do, right? If they if they leave from your life, is you have to pray for them. Honestly, like, you have to just sit there and say a 5-second prayer for them, right? And you know, let them be on their way. Mm-hmm. You can't control other people's emotions. You really can't.
Yeah.
So, but.
Well, apologies to everybody named Debbie, but I'm going to get off this Debbie Downer subject, or David Downer, or whatever you want to call it, right? Let's focus on how we can cultivate healthy relationships. So I guess the next question, you know, for Zach first and then the rest of the group is, how can we really cultivate healthy, God-centered relationships that align with His will for our lives?
Yeah, I mean, I think it starts by looking in first, right, and making sure that your intentions in your own heart towards what you're trying to pursue is right. But then, as far as you know, trying to build those relationships, especially God-centered ones, I mean, it's. I think of a particular friendship that I have that we've been friends for a very long time, right? And he's not religious, but, you know, I've brought up, you know, certain things here and there, right, throughout our years of being friends, and you know, more recently about, you know, some stuff that he was dealing with, and I brought up the idea of forgiveness, right? And what does the Bible say about forgiveness when kind of what we were talking about earlier, right, with Simon Peter and Matthew, you know, well, what is forgiveness is you forgive somebody 7 times, 70 times, 700 times. So it doesn't matter. You forgive infinitely. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like if there's ill will being done to you by some other party, you need to root it out, right? So, but to prioritize it back towards, you know, God-centered relationships, I think it's being clear and true about your intentions, and saying that out loud, right? Say, look, hey, this is what I'm about, and if you agree with it, and I hope you do, and I'm not here to try to change your heart, because that's not my job. I'm here to present it to you, and this is what I'm about. If you're on and you're with it, let's go. I love it, right? Let's continue to build it and follow God and build our relationship personally, but ultimately cultivate our community and grow it to be bigger, right? And if they're not, well, I mean, I guess that's more of a personal choice to decide whether or not you want to continue with that relationship and maybe, I guess, take the risk of where that could end up leading you, right? Yeah, I don't know. What do you think?
Everybody's looking at me, so I'm going to answer. y'all can't see that, but I think one of the ways to cultivate healthy relationships is to be healthy yourself. And I remember my dad making a comment about my youngest sister and saying, you know what, she has really good people around her. And I was like, yeah, you know, like her friends are like, they're good people, they're motivated, they care about her. And he made the comment, yeah, it's because she is a good friend, right? She is good to people and she attracts those same types of people. And I think, you know, as we think about our faith life, a lot of what we're able to attract and be a part of, you know, like this group or like the guys that are sitting around this table, is based on our efforts to be healthy in our faith, right? So I'm not saying that we have to be perfect. Like, obviously we need help from others to kind of get on the right track at times, but if we're pursuing the right things, we will attract people and cultivate relationships with people that are pursuing the right things. So I think, you know, this goes back to this tithing conversation around, you know, what's the right answer? I think it's praying for wisdom on what do I need to, you know, begin to work on inside of me in order to be part of a healthy relationship, whether it's a marriage or a guy's group or gal's group or whatever it is.
So I think we attract what we put out. And if it's goodness, I think we attract goodness. If we put out evil, we'll attract evil, right? And I think, you know, bringing up conversation about faith to strangers or people you just met, you know, it can be scary because you don't know where they're at. They might attack you, right? And that's a fear that, you know, I have. You know, and I bring it up at work. I bring up my faith at work. Everyone knows, like, I'm a believer, and I've done it, and I've found out and met people who are believers too. One of the guys, he goes to our group, and that guy has a lot of knowledge, man. He has a lot of knowledge. Great guy. It wouldn't seem like it when you look at him first, but when he talks Bible, he's very, very knowledgeable, which is insane. Awesome. Yeah. So, and then there's a few people that I know and I've seen at church, right? Like when I was going to, the Flatirons Church, there's people I see at work that anyways, bringing up faith, it can be challenging. However, I think once you realize that you're surrounded by other believers, it brings up a good positive, a positive thing, right? Sorry, I keep hitting my microphone.
Don't worry, I poured a drink that everybody heard.
Sounds like you're kicking a barrel.
Well, it's the microphone arm.
Houston Astros.
Fastball.
Sorry to those Astros fans out there. Uh-oh. Tipping pitches.
Pitches with a P.
Pitches.
Yes.
Don't bring up baseball. See Jeff turn into the Hulk.
Oh my goodness.
That's good. That's awesome.
Right,
that was good.
Anyways,
was
good. So no, back to, like, you know, fostering great relationships. I think you attract what you put out there. Am I right? Like, mm-hmm. I went, and we've told the story before where I met Caleb. I was at a church function and he saw me. And then he saw me at the gym. And we just start, I go again, hit the dang. Yeah, and we just started talking. Side, yeah. Sir. So, and I invited the group, he showed up. Now you guys are leading it, right? So, and it's awesome. And then Caleb met Jeff. Jeff was invited to a group, and, you know, It's amazing when you are around good people, you know,
you have good intentions too.
Exactly. But what happens with that is you're surrounded by good, but when you see the evil that's out there, it really is heartbreaking, mm-hmm. right? It really is hard. Because for me, it's like, I don't understand why people are like that, why people are evil. I don't understand. Because I'm surrounded by, you know, good people, and you see the evil that's out there in the world, it's very, very challenging to see that, you know, and it's like, how can I help? Well, you can help by doing this or mm-hmm. getting involved. Something you're passionate about, get involved and do something about it. If people say one person can't make a difference, one person can make a difference.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, it's that whole thought thing of, you know, you got to have a positive attitude about, I can make a difference in what I'm passionate about. Whether that's spreading God's word, his love, or making a difference in trafficking, sex trafficking, or whatever that is. So, but
First Corinthians 10:31 says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God."
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the perfect verse to kind of summarize all of that, right? Yeah. And that's a that verse for me has taken on a little bit more weight. Just, you know, looking at you know, just the things that I do on a daily basis, right? Whether it's at work or at home or where. If I'm out on the golf course, I don't know, whatever I'm doing, right? You know, especially at work, you know, I look at, like, I share a story of, you know, so because I'm in and out of Home Depots, you know, every day, and met a new associate a couple weeks ago. You know, we were just kind of talking, whatever, and then, you know, come to find out we went to the same high school, graduated 12 years apart, so a little bit of an age difference there, but, you know, fantastic guy, lived in Colorado, obviously moved out of state, is now back dealing with, you know, and it was, I don't know if I just exuded a certain energy when I met him, but he just kind of spewed everything out there, and I was like, it's fine. I don't like, I please do that. If I end up being the person you need to talk to and say, I never met this person before. Right. But if that's how you feel in that moment, please do it. Like, cause that's, I'm honored that you feel comfortable enough around me to say something like that. Mm-hmm. So fast forward that conversation and, you know, he gets done. And I said, man, like, I'm so sorry you're going through that. Like, I'm going to pray for you if that's okay. And he kind of stopped. He paused for a second. He looked at me and he said, thank you for saying that. You do not know what that means to me. Mm-hmm. And he got a little emotional in that moment. And I was like, of course, like my natural reaction was like, of course, like, I don't know, like, what do you expect me to say? And in my head, I didn't say that, but you know, I'm like, it goes to show you, like, there's not enough of that in the world anymore, I don't think.
I agree.
You know, because it's like, you know, I talk and deal with customers all day long, right? It's paint. It's not that important. It's whatever, right? But when I'm at work, I try to do everything to the best of my abilities and try to, you know, not like, I'm not, you know, going out there and preaching the gospel to every person I talk to, because I just, that's not appropriate in a work setting in that certain aspect of certain situations. But at the same time, you know, you give a level of goodness and service to people that, like, I do it because, one, I know it's expected of me, but two, that's just how I'm hardwired, right? And it's amazing to me how many times I get somebody that will say, like, man, like, you know, service is gone nowadays, or, you know, people don't care anymore, or whatever it is, right? And I see it all the time, right? Because, I mean, I do work in a retail setting, and, you know, obviously looking at it from that perspective, but at the same time, look at it from, like, a goodness of God perspective, right? Like, what is the true reason why people aren't being good anymore? What's happening, right? What's the culture shift behind it? And where can we try to point that and change it in people's hearts to actually care about what people, you know, what you're doing in the day to day, right? Whether it's driving or working or talking to friends or, you know, talking on whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's that verse rings true to me pretty heavily, because I try to think about that every day. Just whatever you do, do it with the glory of God,
mm-hmm.
because that matters.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, nice. All right. Great discussions on the Bible section and the fellowship section. Thank you. So, all right, going to our third segment of the podcast.
What is that segment,
Richard? We're talk about beer. Okay. Okay, let me back up. We're going to talk about alcohol, right? So, we are drinking different things at the moment. So, Zach brought...
It's over here. I got it over here.
Andy Gator.
Oh, I brought two things. Yeah.
I
brought two things.
You brought two things. So,
two different things.
You brought Andy Gator, which is a Helles.
It's a Helles Doppelbach.
Watch your mouth.
Whatever that means. No, the story behind that beer is I had a really busy week at work this week, and I tried to make it a point of going and like, because I knew I had to bring something for tonight, and I just got so busy.
You didn't have to bring something. I like tonight. This.
Our guests bring us stuff.
They do.
And so. And so I said,
it's the guest toll.
The guest, yeah.
Yeah, pay the tax.
Is that the podcast tithe? This bring.
Oh wow, full circle.
Yeah, full circle. There we go.
Hold on a second. We are not God. We are not.
No.
You're
no,
not
no,
band
no.
working.
No.
Yeah.
But so the story behind that beer is unfortunately it made a really late run to the liquor store today. And I walked in, and they had a little Mardi Gras display put up. It caught my eye because, you know, purple and everything.
Mardi Gras is done, man.
It is. Well, it is. It's done. But they still have the display up. So I guess poor marketing on them. I don't know. But it caught my eye because of all the purple and, you know, all the Mardi Gras theme stuff. And I saw that, and I was like, that looks interesting. But it was on a table. It wasn't refrigerated. It was warm. So I said, okay, well, I came here because I wanted to buy whiskey. I'm going to go and see if they have it refrigerated. If they have it, I'm gonna buy it, and I'm gonna buy the whiskey. And so, because I saw it, caught my eye, wanted to try it. It's from Abita Brewing. They're out of Louisiana. Hence the whole Mardi Gras theme. I think that's why they probably put it on that display. But
8%.
It's heavy. 8%. It's so the Helles is a traditional German like pale ale.
So for those of you who do not know, Zach was a brewer.
Oh.
Really?
At Satire. Yes.
I did not know that.
I made beer at Satire for the better part of a year. Yeah.
Yeah.
So best brewery in America.
Never been there. I'm just kidding. It is the best
brewery. I'm going to hype Todd up because I love that man.
Todd.
And, he makes fantastic beer.
He's good.
He is. And he was very patient with me at first because I was a little slow to learn. But man, once I got it. He entrusted it to me, and it was that honest.
Yeah.
Todd's
was he like, Zach, person. This is 50% alcohol.
No.
This is not going to work.
No, you cannot. He didn't, this is moonshine of beer.
He didn't let me make my own recipe, although I did bring up ideas that he then crafted into certain recipes. But at any rate, so
prove it.
I'm not, no comment.
We're off the tracks.
Sorry, exactly. So the Helles part is German pale ale, and the Doppelbach is like a dark lager, I guess, if you will. So it's kind of an interesting combo between.
It is an interesting combo.
It's like fruity, it's lagery, it's a little malty, it's a little sweet. I don't know. I think it's good to drink one.
Yeah.
And then after that, like, I don't know, move on to something either heavier or lighter. I don't know. It got a unique flavor. It's not for everybody for sure. But the other thing that I brought that I was more excited about is it's a malted rye whiskey from Basil Hayden.
Were you going to pick it up to show the camera?
Show the camera. Show the boys in the room. So Basil Hayden, malted rye. I'm a sucker for rye whiskey, man. I love rye whiskey. But these Basil Hayden guys, it's distilled by the Jim Beam company. So it is a product of Jim Beam, but it's a separate like side brand. Fantastic stuff. They make really, really good stuff. One of my favorite ones is the sherry cask. So they age the whiskey in wine barrels, and it is awesome, especially if you pair it with a sherry cigar, which I'm also kind of I got huge into cigars, but yeah, it's a side topic.
Next podcast.
Yeah.
Just next podcast. Everybody's smoking cigars.
That
bottle looks all fancy.
It is. Well, here, look. It's got like the copper ring around it. Yeah. Everything. It's nice.
What are you drinking, Richard?
I had a bottle of the Andy Gator. However, when I finished that, I cracked open.
His beer does it too. My beer does it too. Go Astros. Dude, championship. Woo!
So yeah, I keep hitting the stinking microphone arm. It has springs on it, so it rings.
That's our new feature. We just got a super chat.
It's a super chat. Someone just messaged us. All right. So what I cracked open is the Big Bad Baptist, the Breakfast Baptist. So it is a stout aged in whiskey barrels with maple syrup, coffee, cacao, and salt added. So this is from Epic Brewing.
Cacao?
Cacao. It says cacao, yeah, cacao right there.
What is that?
Cacao is the raw form of cocoa.
Is it really?
Yes.
No kidding.
Yeah. Yeah. Cacao, C-A-C-A-O
yes.
versus cocoa, C-O-C-O. Is it C-O-A?
C-O-C-O. Cocoa.
C-O-A. Well, okay. I thought there was an A at the end of it. Sorry. But
cocoa butter.
I don't know enough about this. I shouldn't speak. But I thought Coca-Cola was the only one that could have like the cocoa bean in this country.
What?
Oh, I don't know if I've ever heard about that. Is there
cocoa beans in Coke, dude?
Now we're spreading rumors.
I don't know. So anyways, this is from Epic Brewing, and it's a 2022 rare release beer. And this has, how much alcohol does this have? 10.9 ABV. So
wow, that's can I try that? I want to try it. Yeah. From the Google machine, by the way, just to clarify, because I didn't know. I don't want to perjure myself. Yeah.
Unaffiliated by any company.
Exactly.
So we have no affiliations.
From, what's the Firefox? Yeah, I don't think they're
in business anymore. Firefox is its own company.
That's a browser, bro.
It's not
a search engine.
Cacao is a tropical tree that produces seeds used to make chocolate, cocoa powder, and cocoa butter. So cacao is the raw form of chocolate, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they have to refine it down to chocolate.
Okay. So. Yeah, down to Hershey. I'm drinking that. Whatever Richard
cacao
in its raw form. Big Bad Baptist.
Breakfast Baptist.
Which nice. My brother went to a Baptist church. Still goes to a Baptist church, and he's 6'4", 290.
Does he drink stouts too?
So he's Big Bad Baptist.
Nice. That Epic Brewing has some really good beers, by the way. If you're ever in the so Epic has a, I don't know what you call it, a brew house or whatever. They don't actually serve, they don't make beers there, but it's like a tap house down in Denver. Great stuff. They got really good stuff. They got the big beers out there. Mm. So I love their stuff. But what about you, Caleb?
What am I drinking?
What are you drinking there?
I mean, I'm drinking the obvious. I'm drinking 19 Crimes Snoop Dogg Special Cali Smooth. It's a wine. Has a little bit of gin and juice in it. No, I'm just kidding.
Whoa.
You know, is that 19 Crimes?
No, it's not 19 Crimes.
I should have got that, man. That would have been...
I wouldn't be able to get up tomorrow because I have a headache. But this is Behringer Founders Estate Cabernet Sauvignon.
Behringer's good.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. And I'm gluten free. I don't know if I mentioned it, but I can't really have beer. Yeah. But shout out to Holla Daily, which is a gluten free.
Yeah, that's a. They make some good stuff.
Brewery, so I'm gonna have to bring some of that next. But
he's also got a tall bottle of water.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Turning water into wine over here.
It's like almost as tall as the bottle of wine.
That's right. Water into wine and wine back into water.
You're going here because, you know, the water and the wine, they're just kind of staying.
Hey, now. I like. Can I preface something too, by the way? Because like, I know like when I first like thought or heard of the concept of this podcast, right? Mm-hmm. It's like we're talking about.
He's giving me a hard time about it.
All of this Jesus stuff, right? But then you're talking about alcohol. Right. And you're like, whoa, wait a minute. Like that could bring up some red flags because first of all, Jesus turned water into wine. Mm-hmm. They drank wine. Like that was what they drank.
I'm still amazed by how much wine he
drank. A lot, right?
200 gallons.
Yeah. So, but just a little disclaimer, wine. Right? It's like, you know, we're not like, I don't want to speak for you, but you're not promoting being like, you know, drunk or anything, obviously. It's just alcohol should be consumed at a responsible rate, right? Because I know, like, that thought came up in my head of, like, somebody could, like, look at this and be like, this is all heresy because you're drinking and talking about Jesus. But at the same time, like, because the Bible warns about drunkenness, but it's okay to drink. I mean, Jesus turned water into wine. Like, you know what I mean? So, I don't know. I had to get that thought out there. You don't have to put it in if you don't want to. But.
No.
I just wanted to get that thought out there.
Listen, I think people, when they see our the name of our group,
they're intrigued.
They're intrigued, or they can have that thought also of, like, what is this?
Yeah, what is it?
I'm not doing this, right? Like, but yeah, it's very interesting as far as, you know, what people think about Bible Brothers and beer, right? We're not sitting here getting blackout drunk.
Yeah, no, yeah, exactly.
What we're doing is we're enjoying a glass or a bottle of beer, wine, you know, whiskey, you know, and it's enjoyable, right? So, but yeah, 200 barrels of wine.
I will say 200 gallons. I will say,
that's,
I mean,
a huge amount.
That's huge.
I think it is an important subject for us to address at some point. Maybe it's a podcast on its own.
Possibly. Yeah, we could do that.
So I think it's a good one.
Well, idea of turning of Jesus turning water?
No, we can't do that. We literally can't do that, Zach. I don't have any confidence
in this
referencing?
Table.
I guess what I'm referencing is that one of the things, to your point, is that we do have folks that we meet that have a history with alcohol, and we definitely support them in not coming to the brewery, not coming to a place that may put them in a spot where it's difficult for them. So we're very well aware, as we've talked about, that every group, you should find the group that's for you, right? Some people find this as, you know, de-arming in a certain sense, and they feel more comfortable at the brewery. And we also realize that some people have a history, and we completely respect that. And we actually, as we invite people, kind of proactively talk about that. So
yeah.
we'll do an episode on that.
Yeah, no, definitely. We can definitely have, there's so many subjects out there we can talk about, right? And, you know, we have, we're hoping to record our next podcast soon, and we'll have another guest on. We might have that subject, we might not, but it definitely is something that we want to talk about when it comes to, you know, the Bible and alcohol, right? Because for some people, it could be a touchy subject, or, you know, people who are recovering, right? We've had men show up who are recovering alcoholics at the brewery, and like Caleb said, they stop coming because, you know, they can't be around that.
Yeah,
so
we respect that.
And I'm telling you, every time I talk, I hit this microphone arm. And
you know what's funny is that before we started, you were talking about, I got to get arms for everybody. Well, I think you might be starting to rethink that decision now.
No, there's
very arm, expressive with his arms.
There's other arms that don't have big springs, arms. Right?
Yeah.
I'm going to look into those.
Is that what you're hitting?
All they're doing is holding tension on the arm. That's doing.
Okay, I'm going to hit it. Right.
It's vibrating.
Anyways.
It's like a guitar. Ding.
Yeah. So I think we're an evolving podcast, right? We're still figuring out our stuff. Sound might not be the best. You have all kinds of background noise, and so just bear with us as we mature into our podcast, and hopefully we'll be a little more professional.
That's all right.
We're having fun. I hope. Okay. Thank you, everyone. I hope you're having fun too. I'm having a blast doing this and just speaking to people, talking about God, talking about fellowship, talking about beer or wine or whiskey, whatever we're drinking, right? So, and it's fun. It's fun for everybody. And listen, when you're listening to this, I hope there's something, at least one thing you could take away from it, whatever that is. You know, like today's subjects about tithing, about Old Testament, New Testament, and then fellowship, right? Even the beer, right? Like, I just, you know, when this podcast comes to an end for this episode, you know, walk away from it with something that you hopefully have learned. So, you guys have any last thoughts, comments, concerns, emotional outbreaks?
Not at this moment.
Not at this moment.
Play our theme song.
Zach, thank you. Song.
Yeah, thank you, Zach.
Thank you, Zach, for coming and being a guest and just talking about the great subjects tonight. Really good subjects, really good conversation, and I appreciate it. So, but yeah, thanks, Zach, for...
Well, thank you guys. Appreciate it. I mean, when you first told me that you had this idea of doing this, I was so jacked up for it. And my first thought was, when am I going to be on? Because I was so excited about it, right? Because, I mean, this is something I mean, I've only ever been on one other podcast.
Your own podcast.
Well, actually, okay, false. I did. I've been on two podcasts. Thank you for reminding me of that, because I totally forgot I tried to do my own. Oh,
man.
But I had only ever guest starred, I guess, on one other podcast that never even ended up airing. It was some old friends of mine that were doing a golf podcast and recorded the episode, but then they stopped doing it because they just didn't have the time for it anymore. So that episode never aired, but this one will hit the radio waves hopefully. So, soon,
hopefully by tomorrow.
Thank you. It was a great time. I'd love always, you know, to have insightful, thoughtful conversations about all this stuff. It's super helpful, not only for me, but hopefully for somebody else too. So,
yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Zach. Thanks again. Out there in Radio Land, thank you for listening and spending the time with us. And if you're a man and if you are looking for a men's group, please stop by and see us at Satire Brewery Tuesday evenings from 6 to 8. You can also check out our website at BibleBrothersAndBeer.com. And if you have any questions at all, there's a link down at the bottom of the website where you can email us. And, you know, someone will get back to you soon. Thank you again for listening. Have a wonderful week. Thank you.